Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
So one of my role models is Mary Poppins, so you'll have to see if I can get it all out of here. So dear Thay, dear Sangha, thank you for the invitation to share my love for my teacher and this practice. My plan is to share a poem of his and something from his journal and a meditation that we share with kids on interbeing. So you gotta see what comes out of the bag. Picture of Thay. There. The clock, so we can get out of here on time. This is from my adult education background. We never keep adults past the promised time. Thay's journal. Okay, what else? Miss Piggy, that might come in handy later. I've been working a lot with kids this summer, so I've got a little kid art to share with you and kid stories, because kids get interbeing right away. We think a lot about it, right? So this month, the Zen Center has been looking at interdependence. And how many of you have been here for some of the talks? I know I've been for some. It's an interesting concept, and it's one that is at the core and foundation of Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings. In fact, we were with him at New Year's in 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, and every year when the New York Times would announce the new words, he was sure that inner being was going to make the list. So we'd get the paper brought in and he'd pull it out, and it once again didn't make the dictionary of his word interbeing. But the word to him is very important, and it's connected to how we arrive at understanding no self. Now, how many of you have struggled with that one? No self. I know, that one I struggled with for a while before I met Thay. It's, to me, the inner being is the way we get in. So I want to start with a piece from his journal and one of his journal notations on his experience of inner being. I think this is from 1962. I passed through a storm this autumn. The feeling began shortly before 11 o'clock at night on October the 1st. I was browsing in the 11th floor of Butler Library. I knew the library was about to close. I saw a book that concerned the area of my research. I slid it off the shelf and held it in my two hands. It was large and heavy. I read that it had been published in 1892 and it was donated to the Columbia University Library the same year. On the back cover was a slip of paper that recorded the names of the borrowers and the dates that they took it out of the library. The first time it had been borrowed was in 1915, and the second time was in 1952. I would be the third. Can you imagine that? I was only the third borrower on October 1st, 1962. For 70 years, only two other people had stood in the same spot I now stood, pulled the book from the shelf, and decided to check it out. I was overcome with the wish to meet these two people. I don't know why, but I wanted to hug them. But they had vanished, and I too will soon disappear. Two points on the same straight line will never meet, I was able to encounter two people in space, but not in time. And then he goes on with his experience of still holding the book. Still holding this book, I felt a glimmer of insight. I understood that I am empty of ideals, hopes, viewpoints, or allegiances. I have no promises to keep with others. In that moment, the sense of myself as an entity among other entities disappeared. I knew that this insight did not arise from any disappointment, despair, fear, desire, or ignorance. A veil lifted silently and effortlessly. That is all. If you hear me, if you beat me, stone me, or even abuse me, everything that is considered to be me will disintegrate. Then what is actually there will reveal itself. Faint as smoke, elusive as emptiness, and yet neither smoke nor emptiness, neither ugly or not ugly, beautiful yet not beautiful. It's like a shadow on a screen. At that moment, I had the deep feeling that I had returned. My clothes, my shoes, even the essence of my being had vanished, and I was carefree as a grasshopper, pausing on a blade of leaf. Like the grasshopper, I had no thoughts of the divine. So he goes on to say that, but that experience and that moment in time is an experience of inner being that he goes on to talk about more in his teachings, and also how that experience took him into no self, the sense of not being separate from all beings. So whether he was a grasshopper or a king or a queen. And then one more poem. I'd like you to listen to this with the eyes of inner being. Please call me by my true names. Don't say that I will depart tomorrow. Even today, I am still arriving. Look deeply. Every second, I am arriving to be a bud on a spring branch, to be a tiny bird with still fragile wings, learning to sing in my new nest, to be a caterpillar in the heart of a flower, to be a jewel holding itself in a stone. I still arrive in order to laugh and to cry, to fear and to hope. The rhythm of my heart is the birth and death of all that is alive. I am a mayfly metamorphosizing on the surface of the river. And I am the bird that swoops down to swallow the mayfly. I am a frog swimming happily in the clear water of a pond. And I am the grass snake that silently feeds itself on the frog. I am the child of Uganda, all skin and bones, my legs as thin as bamboo sticks. And I am the arms merchant, selling deadly weapons to Uganda. I am the 12-year-old girl, refugee on a small boat, who throws herself into the ocean after being raped by a sea pirate. And I am the pirate, my heart not yet capable of seeing and loving. I am a politician with plenty of powers in my hands, and I am the man who has to pay his debt of blood to my people, dying slowly in a forced labor camp. My joy is like spring, so warm, it makes flowers bloom all over the earth. My pain is like a river of tears, so vast it fills the four oceans. Please call me by my true names, so I can hear all my joys and laughters at once, so I can see that my joy and pain are one. Please call me by my true names, so I can wake up. So I can wake up and the door of my heart can be left open, the door of compassion. So hopefully you tasted a little bit of inner being in that poem. I've been working with that poem with blackberries, with Donald Trump, and with bamboo. So this is how we practice with inner being. Can I see my mother's face in the blackberries? Or in Donald Trump? Currently I'm doing better with Trump than with blackberries. But this is why it's a practice. It's a door of inquiry. It's a door of discovery. I just was with Thich Nhat Hanh 2 weeks ago. He's in Thailand, about 3 hours north of Bangkok. I know planning and zoning is a precious thing living on an island, but it's amazing what can be done when there's no planning and zoning. They've built a special house for him with this little glass elevator, and they've dug a lotus pond, and there's koi in it, and he has a big deck overlooking the koi pond, and they've put in all these cement walkways so that his wheelchair can go everywhere. And again, these little glass elevators go to the temple. But I was just there a year ago. I couldn't believe what was there. And I got to sit with Thay, and what he does now is holds a one-hand bow when you're with him. And the teaching that he's giving nonstop is on the five remembrances. I am of the nature to grow old. There's no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There's no way to escape ill health. I'm of a nature to die. There's no way to escape death. Everything I love is of a nature to change. I can never be separated from that which I love. And my actions are my true belonging. I was reminded of how many hours I've been pretty close to Thay, and that's what he's called, teacher. Maybe with 4 people, 6 people, many, many hours of time. And in those many hours of time, I bet I have 12 sentences that he has shared with me. My experience with him has been one of interbeing, one where we will sit and watch a tree for hours, or a wave for hours, or sip tea. A very, very silent time with my teacher. And I've appreciated the interbeing aspect of his teaching, because it's about kinesthetic, the feeling of things, the vibration of things. And that's kind of my portal. Do you know your learning style? Who in here is a kinesthetic? Yeah, okay, we got an easier time with this one. Lucky us. We don't always do well in school systems, but we do great with this one. Yeah, do you get in trouble in the school system? I bet you did.
I get kids in trouble.
You get kids in trouble too. Yeah. So it is moving on down, and I brought this from Xander, age 4, and it's entitled Batman is an Angel Too. And it's a little drawing that he made, and this was from one of our days we were exploring inner being. And we didn't talk about Batman, but this was the drawing he came up with in his words, that Batman is an angel too. What deep seeing, huh? 4 years old? He saw that right away. For me, the other key to looking at inner being and making its way to no self is Miss Piggy. And you know that Miss Piggy, everything is about moi. She sees the world totally through moi. Everything is about to upset me. And this is the other way I work with myself. Because, of course, that's what we do, right? I planned a picnic and it's raining. How dare it? How dare it rain on my picnic day? But to love our inner Miss Piggies, and this is one of the things that we work with kids with, too. Is understanding that that's normal, that's natural, and that's human. But our practice is to go deeper with it. So 2 more things from Thay that I wanted to share. The inner being that he chose, that word, was taken out of the Avak Avatamsaka Sutra. Did I say that right? Close. Avatamsaka Sutra. And the line that I think is so powerful is, the power of Samantabhadra's vow enables me to be present everywhere. Where there is a Buddha, I am there. Buddha cannot be measured, and neither can I. In a particle of dust are countless Buddhas, all of them present with their own assembly. The strength of my faith penetrates deeply into every atom of all Dharma realms. So once again, the teaching is that this is limitless, unmeasurable, everywhere. And one more thing on the Buddha Dharma Sangha from Thay's words. The Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are present in every quarter of the universe, as well as in every person and in all other species. To go for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha also means to have confidence in our own ability to be awakened, to develop and manifest understanding and love in ourselves, and to practice the way for ourselves, for our family, for our community, and for our society. So this interpenetration of all reality, the three gems as seen more like the Russian nesting dolls, the matryoshkas, that it's all within, and then every speck of dust. And try this next time you clean. Every speck of dust has countless Buddhas with their own assemblies. So in this case, the kids that see, that read this piece, they think of the Buddhas as lights, like when they see fairies or lightning bugs, which we have where I grew up. But that every speck of dust had a Buddha. Okay, meditation. If you're game to share a kid meditation with me, get comfortable. Bum on chair, feet on ground. And if you're comfortable putting your hands like this, and it's okay to keep your eyes soft and defocused or closed, whatever works for you best. And I invite you just to take a breath in and a breath out. Oh, I didn't hear much breathing, so let's take another breath in. Soft belly breath and breath out. Aware of your bum on the chair or the cushion, your face, your thighs, your feet, and noticing where your hands touch each other. You're making a little bowl here. I want you to imagine that we're just going to put in some beautiful dirt in your hands. Like the beautiful dirt that's been worked by a good gardener. And notice the sensation of the earth and the dirt in your hands. Now we're going to bring in the air element, and you can either blow over that garden in your hands, that dirt, or just imagine that the wind blowing over that dirt in your hands, the air element. Noticing the sun shining on your earth in your hand, the garden in your hand. And now I'd like you to imagine there's some clouds right over, little clouds over the top of your earth in your hand and your garden in your hand. And those clouds are going to just start to release just a little bit of fine rain. Not enough to make things muddy, but just enough to touch the earth. Just notice what you notice any sounds or sensations. This is your beautiful place of earth, a little bit of rain. And now we're going to use that air again, and we're going to blow those clouds away. And the sun is back out. Oh, is anything growing in your garden? Maybe, maybe not. And just to close this short meditation, just like you'd imagine, putting your hands back down to the earth and returning the earth to the ground, and then we're going to just rub off our hands and offer a bow to each other. Now, this is our little, we're looking at inner being this morning. What did you notice? Anybody? If you have something to offer, raise your hand or bow in and let me hear your voice. Did you notice anything with your earth in your hand? Anybody in the room? Kids by now would be leaping up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Were you able to feel your earth? Did you see it, Sarah?
I felt the rain.
Did you feel the rain?
Yes, and it was wonderful.
Was it wonderful?
Yeah, and it just was perfectly timed for what the earth needed at that point.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. Anybody else? What did you notice? Yeah.
I smelled the rain.
You can smell the rain. Smell the rain. Great noticing of the sensations. And this is our doorway to inner being. What did you notice?
I smell earth. You can, damp earth.
Yeah, you can smell that earth. How many of you could smell the earth? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what else? What other senses?
The roots.
The roots? Okay, tell me about the roots. What did you notice with the roots?
They were crawling.
They were crawling. Where did they go?
Well, just across.
Okay, nice noticing of the roots. Good. Anybody else? How about the wind?
I felt the wind.
You felt the wind? Do you like the wind?
I sure do.
I do too. Okay, great. Thanks. Anybody else?
A sunflower.
You could feel. Oh, you got a sunflower. Wow, it was so nice walking by them. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for your experiment with this meditation. Like I said, kids get this really easily. I also have been using this with adults. Everything I've been teaching with kids, we've been using with adults so that we can see how natural and easy and normal it is to see that we have these moments of interconnectedness. I remember one time Larry and I were sitting in, it was in California on the ocean with Ty. We were sitting there for about 4 hours and saying nothing. People would bring tea and we'd get up and nobody said anything. And he turned to Larry and just said, "They call this an ocean." And it was just this experience of that we could have been anywhere. And the ocean, that was a name that was given to this living presence that we had been sitting with for so many hours. Trying to think what else Ty would most want me to share. The order that was given the name of inner being, that is, this is a version of our jacket. This was actually given to me at a Soto Zen Center where I taught. Where they made it for me, and I told them that I thought Soto Zen's got better clothes than we did. And so they made me a jacket, and then they embroidered all over it to help me feel that I had a special jacket. It was so sweet of them. But I'm trying to think what else Ty would say, want me to say to you. I'm very grateful for my teacher, who's very alive in my heart and my life. And I hope you can meet him through the books or videos. And I hope you can meet the Buddha through your own practice with each step that you make, with each garden that you care for, with each dog or cat or kid that you smile at.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.